morning. Today's reading is from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 to 15. So 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 to 15. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came, and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king of Aram." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this gathering. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to gather here in a peaceful nation, Lord, where you've kept us safe. We pray, Lord, for the message, Lord. Be with us. Let it cling to our hearts, Lord. May we be able to use it in our lives, Lord. And may we be able to give glory to you, Lord, in what we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yesterday morning at our men's breakfast, someone asked the question, do Christians go through a depression? Or is it possible for a Christian to go through a depression? And of course we had a long discussion on that. And of course the quick answer to that question is yes. A Christian, a born-again believer, filled with the Holy Spirit, may go through difficulties in life, and sometimes those difficulties will be so overwhelming that the believer may feel very, very down, depressed. And actually, if you look back, you realize in the Bible, not only disciples and prophets had moments when they felt very lonely, pressed down, and even depressed. And even Jesus himself, when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, you realize that he was under a lot of pressure. I mean, if Jesus felt that way, why do you think you can be stronger than him and not feel that way? When Jesus saw Jerusalem and the condition that Jerusalem was in, he felt very, the word depression, quote unquote, very bad for them and shed some tears. When he went to the tomb of Lazarus, he knew he was coming out of there. He knew that he is God with authority to bring him out. And yet, for a moment at least, he felt just like any one of us. We have this morning the story, the true story of Elijah. Elijah was a great prophet of the living God. Elijah means the Lord is my God, or Jehovah is God. He was one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament, but we see him also in the New Testament on the Mount of Transfiguration, appearing with Jesus and Moses. Elijah had appeared before the king of Israel, Ahab, to announce a famine. He said to the king, As the Lord, the King of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. Ahab was an evil king. He did more evil than those before him. He also married Jezebel, which actually could be pronounced Isabel. Isabel, and began to serve Baal and provoke the Lord. Baal means, was the supreme male divinity of the Phoenician and Canaanitish people. During the famine, God provided enough food and water to Elijah to survive. Everyone else was suffering. There was no food, nothing. And God took care of him. Just remember that. That God didn't let him down. He provided enough food for him. And then came the great victory on Mount Carmel, where God's power once again was demonstrated. God told Elijah to call together the 450 priests of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah. In verse 19 of chapter 18, we read, there were 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah who ate at Jezebel's table. These prophets prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, but nothing happened. But when Elijah prayed, and I quote, the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, the Lord, he is God, the Lord is God. 1 Kings 18, 38 and 39. Elijah told King Ahab, get ready for heavy rain. Verse 41. He then went up to the mountain and prayed, and a mighty thunderstorm came, and the drought was over. When Jezebel heard what had happened to the priests and the prophets, she sent a messenger to Elijah to say, and I quote, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like the one of them. So Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. Elijah of the Bible. Elijah who was so powerful. Elijah, instead of trusting God and relying on God's power and His protection, allowed Jezebel's death threat to paralyze him completely. Elijah, who few hours ago was feared by all because of God's power in him, now was running for his life, afraid and discouraged from an angry woman. Jezebel's anger made Elijah forget his victories. And I'm sure you've had some great victories in life. And I'm sure you had some moments that you felt satisfied and worthy of something, or you felt powerful. And yet, there came a moment that a small little thing would upset you and rob you from your joy and your peace. Victories are forgotten. Fear sets in. He ran for his life. He ran and ran and ran for an entire day in the desert. He ran and ran and ran. What about you? What about me? Have we ever ran from trouble? We sometimes, instead of facing the problem, instead of facing a reality, instead of looking up to God, we run, we hide, we don't want anyone to know, we don't want anyone to see us, we don't want people to know who we are, we don't want to know how we failed, we don't want to know other people to know that our marriage is not doing well, that our children are not responding well to God, or we ourselves have fallen and we have sinned. And instead of going to God for His strength, we ran and we hide. He did not want to face anyone. And again, I believe that many who have turned their backs to God or have fallen into temptation and who have let the Word of God, they've left it aside, they put it aside and they're following their own desires, all of a sudden they realize what they have done, and instead of making things right with God, they will hide and not even want to talk to anyone. He did not want to talk to anyone. He did not want to face anyone. He didn't want to talk to anyone. He did not want to assume any responsibilities at all. I believe these are some of the classic signs of depression and burnout. The classic signs of depression and failure are often very, they are hidden. We try to hide them, and yet they are real in our lives, and we try to hide. And these classic signs are sort of ignored, and we say, well, I'm not feeling well, it's my arthritis, it's my headache, and yet we know that the problem is in our heart, and yet we know that we have let our family down, or we have turned our backs to God, and because we have done that, we don't know how to deal with reality. And remember David, the king? King David was a very wealthy man, he was a very healthy man, he was a very prosperous man in every possible way. He was the king. He had authority. He had as many things as anyone would need these days. He had beautiful family. And yet when he saw this woman across the street, he wanted her. He had her. And then he committed adultery. He committed murder. He covered up his sin, and then we read in the Bible what happened to him. He got into a deep depression for about 1 year. He suffered. His bones were aching. He had lost his joy. He could not sing. He could not write. He could not function well at all. Why? Because now he was in a depression. And he still was the king. He still had the powers. He still had everything going for him, and yet deep in his heart, he was feeling so guilty and he was suffering. It was until the prophet came to him and said, you know what? You have broken God's laws. You have turned your back to God. You have been hiding. You have been, you are being punished. Unless you turn away from your sins, you will not be restored. And when David recognized his sin and he turned to God, all that depression was gone. There are times in life when God seems so far. And so we wonder, why is he not speaking to us? Why can't we feel his presence? And we may panic and hide. Very often Christians say, Pastor, I don't know what's happening to me. I have now a lot of problems. I have doubts. And I don't know what to do. And I can't function well. Those doubts I cannot deal with. Elisha decides there is no reason to live. And I quote, it is enough, Lord. In other words, I have had enough, Lord. Now, he had enough of what? He had enough of blessings. He has been fed. He was fed by God. God gave him enough food, enough protection. God gave him everything he needed. And plus, and more, God made him, allowed him to face about 950 or 1,000 people, all kinds of prophets, false prophets and teachers. And he was not afraid. He knew in his heart, he truly believed that God is going to do his miracle. And it takes a lot of power. It takes a lot of faith to do that. And when they failed, God blessed him. God answered his one prayer. He didn't need to pray all day. And yet he was running all day for days away from one woman's threat. Elijah was confused. He was actually running away from death, and yet he wants to die. A depressed person does not know what he wants. Why was he running away? Because he was afraid that Jezebel will kill him. And yet he says to God, kill me. Shock, it's confusing. But a person who is going through a depression does not think right, cannot think right. And that reminds me of my mother. Once again, I've said this before. My mother would say, I want to die, son. I really want to die. I want to meet the Lord. I'm tired of this life. And I would say, Mom, it's very easy, actually. Don't take your pills and don't go see the doctor. And she'd say, are you crazy? But that's how we are. We claim that we have come to the end of our rope and we want to die. And yet when something happens, no, we want to protect ourselves. Well, this is what happened to Elijah. Elijah was scared from a woman and yet he wanted to die. When you feel that you're confused, when you feel that someone is after you, when you feel that you are going through a depression, although people who are going through a depression very often don't realize that they are depressed, they'll blame someone else. They'll blame the society. They'll blame the family. They'll blame the husband, the wife, the children, anyone except recognize the problem. Obviously, there are situations where it's a medical problem and there is an emotional situation. And I'm not here a doctor and I may make a mistake by saying what they should do. And yet I know that there are situations that they need medical care, attention. But here I'm speaking of Elijah who was not sick. He did not have a medical problem other than fear at this point. Who was blessed that he knew that God was with him. You know that God is with you. You know that God has provided. You know that God is going to take care of you. And yet when you hear rumors of layoffs, you panic. when you see, and when I see, for example, something happening with my grandchildren, I panic. And nothing is happening, obviously. It's I that I'm 71 at this point, looking at a 16, 17, 18, 20-year-old person, and I want them to be like me. That would be terrible if they are like me. But, and yet, I do not understand some things in life, and I need God's help. A depressed person does not know what he wants. Finally, and I quote verse 5, he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. There are situations where people who cannot deal with reality, who are depressed, all they do, they want to do is go to bed and sleep and not see anyone. Well, that's what happened to him. Have you ever felt so down that all you could do was lie down? Have you ever felt that life is fruitless and useless? But notice God's tender care of the depressed prophet. As Elijah slept, an angel touched him. God was watching. God provided food and water, and Elijah wakes up and eats. Elijah goes back to sleep again, but an angel wakes him up again. God did not feed him so he can go back to sleep. God did not feed him so he can go back to sleep. Very often the same thing applies to us. God has not brought us this far so we can go and sleep somewhere. God has not blessed us this much so we can sort of lay down and rest and say, oh, well, I'm retired. I'm a pastor, but I'm retired. I'm a Christian, but now I have done enough. God has blessed me, and yet leave the others do the work. Let the young people do it. And whatever the reasoning may be, I believe God says, get up. I'm feeding you. I'm strengthening you. I'm providing all you need to be effective in my service. Elijah finally got up and continued his journey, traveling for 40 days until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went to a cave and spent the night. And that is where Elijah heard God's question, what are you doing here, Elijah? Please remember that when God asks a question, it is because he does not, it is not because he does not know the answer, but rather it is very often a moment of accountability for the person who is being asked. So when God asks you, what are you doing here? It's not because he doesn't know what are you doing there. When God said to Adam and Eve, where are you? It wasn't because he didn't know where they were. When God asks you a question, it's not a rhetorical question. It is because he wants you to respond and tell him the truth and acknowledge, realize that you are in a place where you shouldn't be. Elijah is in a cave, excuse me, maybe resting or hiding, but he is told to go outside because God is about to pass. Are you hiding in a cave? Am I hiding in a cave? The cave may be your house. The cave may be your office. The cave may be in a church where you're hiding. You don't want to face God. You don't want to face people. You don't want to deal with the reality. And yet God is saying, what are you doing here? Get out and watch me. See what I'm going to do with you and for you. What an experience that was. A great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks. But the Lord was not in the wind. Then there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Then came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. But where is God? Why all this commotion? If God is not in it, probably Elijah thought. Well, first, God had to get Elijah's attention. And then there was nothing spectacular, just a gentle whisper. But what made Elijah stop and listen was God's whisper. Verse 13 says, "Then a voice said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" Very often Christians run to concerts. Christians run to churches. Christians run to a place where there is a lot of commotion, a lot of singing and praising and shouting and big bands and even rolling on the floor and jumping up and down because they want to see the power of God. But God was not in the earthquake. God was not in the fire. God was not in the powerful wind. Very often, God wants us to pay attention. Very softly, I'm sure God has spoken to you many times. What must God do to you to get your attention? Is God asking you again, "What are you doing here?" God is asking you today again, "What are you doing here?" Here is God's question to a Christian feeling defeated by fear. "What are you doing here alone? I am here and I care about you." I believe that every one of us should come to the realization that God really is interested in each individual. The hardest thing for me to understand was, who am I? Last night I was praying, and for a moment I saw in my head this entire universe, and beyond the universe, and after the universe, and after that universe. I don't know how big it is. I don't know where creation starts and ends. I don't know what infinity is like. And I don't know, I cannot grasp, I cannot fathom eternity and infinity. And then I looked at myself, and believe it or not, all I saw was nothing. Smaller than dust. Just put yourself in all this, it's reality. And then I had in my prayer to pinch myself and say, "I am really here though. All I know that I am here and I am given a chance to recognize the living God, the God that has created me, the God that has sustained me, the God that really cares for me." And then the devil says, "Oh yeah, who are you? Who do you think you are for God to care for you? I don't know who I am, but God knows who exactly I am. And because God cares for each individual, He doesn't want us to hide in a cave, in a hole, in a room, in a hospital, unless we really need to be in a hospital. And I believe that God saw Elijah and said, "Elijah, I fed you for such a long time. I've helped you to overcome all the temptations. And then I showed you the power, my power, and you are running away from a woman?" It could have been a man, it's not because he's a woman. And yet, Elijah was scared. Once again, God's question is, "Why are you carrying your burdens alone? Come to me." Here is God's question to one who is a backslider, running away from God. "What are you doing there? And why? Why are you where you are this morning?" God will meet you where you are and the way you are, and He will help you. Have you given up? Or maybe you cannot hear the voice because of all the other voices and sounds and around you, and the commotions and the advisors and the criticism and the preachers and the sermons and the books you read and the television programs you watch. You are too busy doing all that, and you can't hear the whisper that comes from God. He says, you may not think too much about you, or very much about you. You may think that you are nobody because you are a sinner. You may feel that you are only a young person, and people always say young people are useless or whatever the rebellious they are. And yet I care for you. I love you. Once again, God will meet you where you are and the way you are. And He will help you. If you are so depressed this morning, or so you have given up and saying, well, I want to be a Christian, I want to follow God, I want to live a life that is pleasing to God, and yet I can't. I can't because I've done so much in my past. I can't because I'm hooked on this thing that won't let me go. I'm hooked because I can't. I'm enslaved to this thing. But God can free you. And someone else may say, well, I know I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and yet I have my tradition. This tradition is holding me down. They will persecute me at home. If you are a Greek Orthodox, Armenian Orthodox, Jew, Muslim, Protestant, Baptist, it doesn't matter who you are and what you are. All you have to know is that God really loves you and cares for you, and God will provide an exit, if you wish, a place to rest. I hope you have heard His voice today and you will respond to Him. Now, when Elijah did respond to Him and he came out of the cave, finally he was reassured that God was with him no matter what. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for being so loving, so kind, so compassionate. Even when we fail You, You still love us, and yet You want us to come back and be restored. Be with us this morning. Guide us, protect us. May the Holy Spirit convict each one of us from things that have held us back from You, and help us to surrender our lives completely to You. In Your blessed name I pray, amen.